Welcome to the United Cast. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and this is your 2025 to 2026 season preview. July is rapidly finishing, and the season does start in less than a month. Of course, by season start, I mean first day Arsenal on the 17th. Preview podcast time. We're almost back. And I usually like to start a preview off with how I'm feeling. You know, we're going into a new season of something, so whether it's, you know, a game, show, film, season of TV, whatever, start a preview off with how I'm feeling about the thing itself. The thing itself in this case being Manchester United Football Club. I've gone through... How many stages of grief did I say there is? Five? I've probably gone through like 20. I feel like, I think I have this summer, and the summer's not even over, gone through all the different types of emotions that I could. I've gone through anger, you know, sadness, denial, grief, acceptance. The acceptance part was very difficult this summer. But am I feeling good about this season? No. No, this is probably, even outside of seasons that I covered the United cast for, because obviously we've played football before that started, this is definitely the one that I've just felt no enthusiasm for. There's two kind of main points I kind of want to start with in a minute, but it's just... I don't know how I'm supposed to feel anything other than just, not dread. I don't think I'm dreading this season, although, you know, if we start getting battered 2-3-4-5-0 again, then of course I will feel dread, because that could lead to bad things. But I'm almost kind of, because I'm watching everybody else, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, even Tottenham, other teams do lots of business, and we've started to do a little bit more business, but it's been so slow and so few and far between, and the way that we've handled our, well, it's not even the way we handled our transfer strategy, it's what our transfer strategy was, and then how we went and handled it, because I don't know what the plan B was, but I can tell you what Manchester United's plan A was for transfers this summer. It was to exile five players from the team. So that's Malacia, Sancho, Garnacho, Anthony, Rashford. I think those are the five. To exile those, to talk as badly about them as we possibly can. For the manager to continue devaluing them. For the club to continue devaluing them. And then to wait for people to come in with offers for these players, negotiate for them very poorly, receive very, very low offers for them, hope that it's both a double-sided case of the player, whichever one of the five, agreeing to join any club, and if it comes to it, cut their wages, which they're not going to really do. Sell all five of those, replace all five of them with whoever our transfer targets actually were, and then go from there. But that plan in of itself has not even been completed yet. What really doesn't help, and what I really don't understand, is... Okay, because say what you want about those five players, they're all in very different points in their careers, right? Not many of them are actually even that old, either. I know Rashford's probably the oldest of them, but is still capable of doing things. If you've got five players that the club, and certainly the manager, more so the manager doesn't want them, it's not necessarily the club doesn't want them, and you publicly make it known that we don't want these players, we don't value them, because we're exiling them. Not in the case of... we've got valuable assets to sell, but in the case of that, we know these are very valuable assets, but we're going to tell you that we don't want them, thus devaluing them, hence the fact that nobody's really come in for great offers, for any of these players. What the plan then was, which about 30% of it has been done, is look at Cunha and look at, I think his name's Mbeumo. Apologies if I get that wrong. I'll have to learn how to pronounce that properly. Mbeumo, I think his name is. Which we've kind of done so far, because Rashford's gone out on loan with the Barcelona option to buy next summer. So that's him gone for a year. Of course, you can always call him back from loan and probably do some other stuff. He's been seemingly replaced by Cunha, because Cunha's been given the number 10 shirt. And Mbeumo has been given the number 19 shirt, which I believe was Sancho's number. Sancho, of who has still not left the football club. Garnacho, of who has still not left the football club. Same for Antony, and same for Malacia. By the way, what did Malacia do wrong? I know Amrin fell out with Sancho, Garnacho, Rashford. Antony was a case of he was kind of out the door before Amrin even was here. Obviously, he went off to Betis, had a very good time. Probably should have stayed there. I don't know why Betis didn't buy him. But I don't know what Malacia did wrong. Why Malacia is included in that group of five. But because we need left wing backs. And can't he maybe fill that role? I don't know. He's been exiled as well. Rashford, of course, who is in Spain and has signed for Barcelona. And then the other four players have been left out of our pre-season tour. They did not get on the plane. I don't know where they are, what they're doing. They're probably at Carrington still training, because of course they need to do that to keep up their own fitness. It's a pretty terrible plan, one of which we have not successfully done yet. Look, in regards to Cunha and Mbeumo, if you were to say to me, Matt, I'm going to name these two players to you, would you like them to play for Manchester United? I'm not specifically interested in those two players. And if you're to say to me, you can have Rashford and Sancho, let's say at their best, playing for Manchester United on the left, on the right, whatever it's going to be, or Cunha and Mbeumo, granted, I'd probably say, okay, if you put Cunha and Mbeumo on the bench, because our bench needs to be a lot stronger, I'm good with that. But replacing, now think whatever you want about Sancho and Rashford. We all have our own different opinions, right? But I can't look past, okay, taking Sancho out, which, by the way, he's still not out. He's still at the football club. I don't know if he's got his shirt number anymore, because I think it was 19, and Mbeumo's got that. Bringing in him and Cunha to replace Rashford and Sancho, I don't personally like that. Now, obviously, any player who puts on the Man United shirt, I want them to do well. I want them to succeed. I want, of course, these two guys to get goals and assists and play well. Because why would I want them to do badly? I want them to do very good. If they enjoy their time here, then great. Or that sort of thing. They're just not my... They weren't on my list of... like, oh yeah, put them in the first team kind of thing. But those are the two that we've gone for, and those are the two that we've got. It's just going back to my feelings for a second. I'm almost done this thing where sort of, because there's the annoyance of we haven't done enough in the window. Obviously, we've got brought Diego Leon in as well, by the way. I'm not sure how big of a role he's going to play, but he's been brought in as well as the left wing back. Of letting everybody else kind of embarrass us, because Chelsea have gone and got players. Liverpool have done some madness. Man City have bought some players. Everybody's gone out and bought some players, and we, quite frankly, haven't done enough. I'm almost at this situation because, like, okay, where do we kind of go from here as a football club? I think what's going to happen now, I could be wrong about this, is it almost feels like, okay, let the season start. Whoever else we get in, or whoever else gets taken out the team, whatever, right? That is what it is at this point. Is almost like feeling and thinking that we're going to start the season badly, and then just almost waiting for Amrim to inevitably get sacked and then replace him, and then have that be kind of the fresh start in, like, you know, quarter of the way through the season or whatever it would end up being. That's not a good idea. That's not a good plan. Because what should have happened, and I don't mean to keep repeating myself, is Amrim should have gone after the well after that last Villa game, because we should have been sensible about it and realistic about it. He should have gone after that game before like the window opened. Just, you know, write him off, whatever, he's gone. Then get someone new in, whoever that's going to be. I don't know who would be on Man United's list. Get that new person in and then start building the team with that. Because my whole issue this whole summer, because to be honest, I've kind of tried, because I was so, I don't know if damaged is the right word to use, just like painfully waiting for the season to slowly end, right? Because I've almost kind of like, yeah, I've almost kind of just, okay, you've got to ignore the bad transfer window because you know what's going on. And then just wait for him to get sacked and sort of start again. And it was just an annoying feeling. But it's also kind of, because this summer's been kind of, who the manager does and doesn't want, which, okay, if you are going to stick with him, which the club have, then yes, it makes at least some sense to, if you're going to back him, actually do it, which we haven't really even done that. I want to talk about that in a second. But my issue is, because I don't trust this manager and I don't like him, and because I don't think he's good enough, why would I and other people that are hammering him out be okay with basing our summer transfer business plans around a manager who's done very, very badly, and then just leaning on that to rely on? But where it gets even more stupid from there is, okay, you propped this guy up, you've backed him, you haven't sacked him, you said, okay, we're going to stick with him through the summer, or stick with him for now, whatever, and back him in the summer. Why did you bother keeping him if you weren't going to back him properly? It's both a case and an issue of that, but also an issue of, okay, the club's idea seemingly of backing this guy was to wait for offers for five players that were exiled and devalued, and then wait for those five sales to happen, or at least some of them, and then start going for players. But, and okay, I don't think that's a great idea, right? I think that's a terrible idea, actually, because then you're kind of waiting and relying on other clubs to almost do part of your work for you. But why couldn't, while you're waiting for those offers to come in, which, okay, you have to wait for those offers, but you're still in control of who you bid for and who you go for. So, even if it's a case of, okay, I don't know who they would be, but let's say we've identified five players. Of course, Diego Leon and Mbeumo and Acuna. Those are three of them. I don't know who the other two would be. Apart from Gyökeres, who went to Arsenal anyway. You pick out your five targets who you want to replace those five players with. Okay, I don't agree with that, but let's say that's the idea that you had. As a football club like Manchester United, we should be, while we're waiting for those offers to come in for those players, which only one of them has gone, so we're still waiting for the other four to go, to do the part of the business yourself and put the bids in for the other players, and like properly go for Gyökeres. And obviously the only reason we got Cunha earlier was because he wanted to join us for some reason, and because he had a release clause, so Wolves had no choice. And then we spent 7 weeks negotiating for Mbeumo, and it's like, you've got to, in this market, the way things move, especially how quickly like Liverpool have moved. And I don't care that they've won the league, they've got more money, we're still Manchester United. Okay, Liverpool might clearly be a better prospect right now because of what they've just done and what they're doing. But we've got to do the best thing we can to make ourselves look like a good prospect, which is difficult, but you've still got to try, and we haven't tried. But you've got to have multiple parts moving at the same time with transfer business, because essentially what we've then done is wait for offers to come in for those five, got Cunha early because of the release clause, and then negotiate for one player for 7 weeks, fail to get him for those 7 weeks, then finally get him 7 weeks later after everybody's buying 2, 3, 4, you know, players. And we seem to do this every summer, where it's like we really, really, really go for one person, Mbeumo in this case, and we can't work on other deals at the same time. You've got to be, even if the Mbeumo thing's stalling, even if it does take you 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks, you should still, within those, let's just say 7 weeks, that's what it actually was, you still got to be going for other, just to keep the ball moving on other things. Otherwise, you're just waiting on one player while everybody else is, you know, building their team. And why do we seem to keep doing that? And my other issue is, because we used to do that even in the Ed Woodward era, right? Like when it was just the Glazers and it was Ed Woodward and that sort of thing. We used to do that then as well. So this idea as well that, okay, Ineos and Jim have come into this club. Obviously, we cleared out the boardroom pretty much. We brought some new people in who still aren't clearly good enough at the job. And things aren't any better. We still are pretty much doing the same thing. In fact, in at least the 6 seasons I've been covering Man United, this is the worst transfer window we've had so far. Just because of purely how slow it is. Now, again, if Mbeumo turns out really great, Cunha turns out really great, brilliant. Those will turn out to be great signings. But you still need more. My other issue is, I've got a lot of issues, is, okay, so let's go through the team a second, because what I was going to say is, obviously there's other areas where we need players, because what we seem to be very focused on is replacing the front line, because we didn't score enough goals. Okay, fair enough. I don't know if replacing them is the best idea, because we don't have a lot of them to begin with. But adding to them and adding competition to this team is, in my opinion, the better option. But we seem to be doing the replacing rather than the adding in this situation. But why, like, let's consider wing-backs for a second. Wing-backs, like, if we are going to back Amrim, like, I disagree with that idea, but let's say we are going to try and do that. Wing-backs are clearly very, very, very important in this system. They're used in the attack, the midfield, the defence. They're used all over the pitch. So, and okay, Ahmad, probably right wing back, and next to Dalot, that's probably the right side. Is that good enough? Dalot didn't have a very good season. Hopefully Ahmad kicks on, but maybe you could do a bit more there. On the left side, Luke Shaw, if he ever wants to play, I don't know what's going on with him. And then you've got Dorgu. Again, I like him. He's young. He's still, you know, very, very, quite new to the team. He's like less than a year into this team. Of course, picked up an injury. That sort of thing. We'll see how he kicks on. Then you've got Malacia, who could play over there, I guess, but has been exiled for some reason. And then you've got, I don't even want to think of a Kane Mazraoui or Dello on the left side, because that doesn't work. And then you've got Diego Leon. But my thing is with the Diego Leon signing is, why have you bought two wing-backs at the same age? Because my thing was, okay, Dorgu, good option, like, shouldn't be playing every game, but buy someone over on the left side who's maybe a bit older, got more experience. For example, you do have Ahmad, who's quite young on the right, but then you've got Dalot, who I think is a bit older and, you know, has more experience. But we, apart from Diego Leon, we weren't linked with any wing-backs this entire summer. And then you come across the midfield, where it's like Bruno, the 100 million thing, make of that what you will. Of course, Amrim loves him, so he was never going to let him go. I don't think that was ever really going to happen. I think Al-Hilal really wanted him, obviously, 100 million. But I do not like our midfield. And my other issue is we saw so many times last season, and I think this is really a core, what I'm about to talk about is really, really a core issue with this system and with this team and the manager. You play a 3-4-3, sometimes it's a 5 at the back, whatever, 3-4-3. You have two central midfielders who are going to do their work in midfield. And for the most part, it was Bruno and Casemiro. Ugarte was in there for a bit, Cobby was in there for a bit. Cobby should arguably be playing higher up, but whatever. And then you've got like Toby Collier in and around the team, Mason Mount in and around the team. Apart from a few players in their midfield, our midfield is terrible. But that aside, it's also a case of, because this manager has very openly said, I will not change the way that I play, which, again, I continue to find bizarre. When we are playing against most teams, and they had three in midfield, and we had two in midfield, and the ball gets played through to the midfield, you're automatically straight away outnumbered in midfield. Now, even if you find a workaround for that, even if you find two players in there who can do that job better, right, or more efficiently together, we weren't linked with any midfielders this summer. Probably because Bruno did stay, and it was very clear that, okay, it's going to be Casemiro and Ugarte as like the six, and then Bruno is the one next to him. I don't know where that leaves someone like Kobbie. Because now that you have got Mbeumo, and you've still got Xerxes, and you've got Garnacho is still there, and you've got Cunha. Clearly Cunha and Mbeumo are going to be the two tens. Probably Cunha on the right and Mbeumo on the left. Sorry, the other way around. And then probably Højlund or Xerxes up front, because we haven't bought another striker yet. This just whole thing with this squad, I just don't like it. It doesn't feel good or stable, or doesn't have a lot of quality to it. Like defense, our back three options, I'm perfectly fine with. I don't think we were in for any centre backs. I didn't expect that, because we've got plenty of options there. Even with Lindelof and Johnny Evans leaving, we still have plenty of options. Obviously, you've got Heaven breaking through. Euro's obviously become a bigger player. You got De Ligt, you got Martinez coming back, got Maguire. There's plenty of options there. Mazraoui can play there as well, so plenty there. So it just see that's like where I'm at now is kind of okay. Wait for the season to start. If we start it as badly as I think we're going to, let the dominoes fall. We'll lose a certain amount of games until Amorim gets sacked. We'll sack him in like November, just like we did last season with Ten Hag. And unfortunately, the cycle will be repeated again. Because I just, for a manager who's come across as very stubborn with, for example, his I won't change, I won't adapt, which you saw in the cup final and you saw throughout the season, with him doing that and this squad being basically the same. Yes, you've exiled five players and you brought three in, but we needed a lot more than that. But it's pretty much the same squad. Goalkeeper's the same, defence is the same, wing-backs are pretty much the same, midfield's the same, same striker. A couple of new tens, we'll see what they do, but it's still nowhere near enough. It's just wait for the season to start, wait around for his sacking. Like, will that happen within the first five games once Ineos and Glazers or whoever realizes that this is not stable, even though that should have been obvious from last season? And then bring in a new manager, hopefully that'll be somebody actually good and interesting, and then we can start to just build from there in the middle of the season and hope that it gets better. So there we go. I don't know. Anyway, let's read through this squad that we've got. So you've got Biyender and Onana with Heaton hanging around as well. Defenders, you've got Amas, Delo, Dorgu, Heaven, Diego Leon, Harry Maguire, Malacia, who's been exiled, Martinez, Mazraoui, Luke Shaw, if he plays, and then Euro and De Ligt. I think it's a good selection there. It's a very good selection there. Midfielders, Casemiro, Collier, Bruno. I know you've got like Tyler Fletcher and Kone and people like that. I don't know how much they'll play this season. Kobbie Mainoo, Jack Morehouse, Mason Mount, and Ugarte. And then forwards, so this includes some wingers. Mateus Cunha has got number 10. Ahmed Diallo has got number 18. Garnacho is still listed here, so whatever. Rasmus Højlund. Brian Mbeumo, who, yes, has got number 19. Sancho is not on this list. Of course, you've got Obi as well, young promising player. Ethan Williams, we saw glimpses of. And then Joshua Xerxes. Yeah, the midfield's my big concern there. Because, again, a midfield two of Casemiro and Bruno doesn't work. Ugarte is good, but I think needs competition. I think what we should really be aiming for in this midfield, I'm talking specifically the two, is you got to start letting Kobbie flourish in that midfield. But what you need to do, if you're going to still stick to this system, either play him as a 10, which those positions are very packed. Because, okay, who have you got that can play in the two 10s? You've got Xerxes, Cobby, Mount, Bruno. Let's count Garnacho for a moment. Sorry, let me start again. Bruno, Cobby, Mount, Xerxes, Cunha, and Bumo. That's six players for two positions, which I like competition, but that's a lot. Rashford's not there anymore. Because Xerxes can seemingly play the 9 and the 10, so I'll kind of count him for both. So, yeah, those are very, very good options. But, like, again, striker, Højlund definitely needs, you know, someone next to him as well, because he can't really be the solo striker for this team. Plus, I don't want to talk about it again, but there's the service issue where he just doesn't get passed to. So, yeah, it just... I'm genuinely just expecting nothing. Like, I talked about my thoughts and feelings, like how I'm feeling about the team. But in terms of my, okay, where am I expecting us to finish and what am I expecting us to do? I still think we'll finish in the bottom half of the table. So let's say 10th and below. Can't see us winning any cups unless we go on, because you can always go on a good cup run, right? You can get, you know, a bit of a luck of the draw and you can get, you know, a Brighton instead of a Chelsea. Not to put Brighton down, but you know, there's sometimes better options. You can go on a good cup run, and of course we did get undefeated all the way to a Europa League final, and then we mucked up the final, so those things can happen. So I'll give a chance, cup success, about 30% chance. Like our Carabao Cup run from a couple of years ago, we had a decent cup run, and of course beat Newcastle and that sort of thing. We're not in Europe, so there's no predictions to make there. I can't see us getting back into Europe this season, because you've also got like other teams that have been massively improving. This is going very far out, but the sort of... Okay, so how do we get better and how do we recover from what I see as a pretty dire situation? I think the best thing to happen, not in terms of I want to start the season badly, but starting the season badly, waiting for the shoe to drop of him getting sacked, bring in someone who's better, more interesting, more qualified, and has more than one idea, hoping that that person recovers the rest of the season well. So I am essentially writing off this season, but I don't know what other way to look at this. You have that person stabilize the rest of the season. A bit like when we had the Ollie Ragnick fallout season and Erik ten Hag came in, and the idea was, okay, don't worry about playing like brilliant football. Just try to stabilize things and try to, you know, steady the ship. That's what the next manager needs to do. Steady the ship until the end of next season, and then if this, whoever this next person would be, has better ideas, is more interesting, more qualified, has more than one idea, and you can hopefully back that person better next season, because we probably won't do anything in January, we'll probably sign like one player or buy someone on loan or whatever, and then hope that we kick on next season. So I'm essentially labelling this season as I'm not expecting anything, not expecting to win any trophies or anything like that. Definitely not expecting a top half finish. I think, okay, let's say we do better. Maybe something like an 8th. But you've really got to look. Let me look at the... talk about fixtures as well in a minute. Where's the standings? There we go. I just got the standings for last season. Let me just go through this really quickly. And like, okay, I'll do the are we better than this team. Are we better than Liverpool? No. Arsenal? No. City? No. Chelsea? No. Newcastle? No. Villa? No. Forest? No. Although they did lose. Elanga. Brighton? No. Bournemouth? No. Brentford? No. Fulham? No. Palace? No. Everton? Yes, we can be better than Everton, West Ham. Yes, Wolves. Maybe. I'll lean more towards yes, we just took one of their players. Tottenham, no. And of course, Leicester, Ipswich and Southampton have gone down. So that then leaves the question of, are we going to be better than Leeds? Is it Leeds, Burnley, Sunderland? We just drew to Leeds. I know it was a pre-season game, but we have to make sure we're better than those three teams as well. Because where we admittedly got quite lucky last season, and one of the reasons we didn't get relegated, is because Leicester and Ipswich, and particularly Southampton, because they themselves just couldn't win games. Because even through large periods of the season, when we weren't gaining points, we couldn't drop down any further because the teams that were below us, so the, you know, Wolves, Leicester, Ipswich, Southampton, because they were also so bad, they couldn't gain points to jump above us. Now, if they were better, we might have been in even more trouble. So the new question, because, okay, we outlived Leicester, Ipswich, Southampton, because they couldn't gain enough points. We finished with 42, Leicester finished with 25. Are we going to be able this season to be better than Leeds? Because I'm replacing those three relegated teams with the three promoted teams, right? Because three go down, three go up. Are we going to be better than Leeds, Sunderland and Burnley? I can't tell you yes is the answer to that right now. I can't tell you no either, because I don't know enough really about what those teams are doing and that sort of thing. We do tend to beat Leeds, but I don't know if we can still do that right now. So yeah, that's pretty much how I'm looking at this season, is waiting for the inevitable to happen. Bringing in someone new who can stabilize this team for the rest of the season is my thought process for that. And we'll just have to see basically how that goes. So, hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, let's try to end on a bit more of a positive note. I'm going to consider an option that, because I've pretty much talked about everything I want to talk about. There's one more thing to talk about, though. Let's pose a what-if scenario, because I've kind of talked all about, like, okay, what I think is going to happen and the inevitability of what I think is going to happen this season. What if it works out? Let's say we start the season, maybe we don't beat Arsenal, maybe we play well, maybe we still lose, but maybe we draw, but maybe something more positive happens, or we can see something. Because my whole thing at the end of last season, in terms of do I want this manager to stay, is can I, even though it's gone very badly, can I see within something that he's doing, something to grasp onto, or an idea, or a thing that I can look at and go, right, I want to keep him because of this thing. And I could not personally see anything. Some of you can. I don't know what you can see, but I can't see anything.
Let's ignore that for a second. Let's throw that out the window. Let's say Amrim comes back in, or he's still here, whatever, and it starts working. Let's say it starts working out. Let's say that the ideas, because he did something that worked at Sporting. Let's not forget about that. And again, I'm trying to do not the positive spin. I'm not trying to spin or change my opinion. I'm trying to look at the other side, because some of you might think, okay, you think it's going to go badly, but what if it doesn't? What about if it goes well? So let's just focus on that for a moment. It's admittedly a situation I haven't considered as much, but okay, if we start, let's say we start the season and we start okay, for example, and again, it won't be, it's a results-based business, but let's say I can start to see some things he's trying to do. Let's say his substitutions are smarter, the midfield doesn't get overrun, we start, passing and moving better, we start servicing the striker well, all those sorts of good bits and pieces. Obviously, I'll get behind him if I can see something that, if I can at some point go, okay, that's what this guy's trying to do, but it's not the case of the idea's there, but it's not working. It's a case of there's the idea there, I can notice it's there, and it's actually somewhat working to a sustainable is very important in this case, sustainable degree. And if we start beating teams and we start climbing up the table, maybe we get a good cup run going, then it'd be great, obviously. And then we'll see where that takes us for the rest of the season, and then maybe things work out better. I still, in that scenario, can't see us finishing. I can't, even if it really, really goes very well, because you still have to consider what everybody else is going to do. I can't, even in the best scenario, see above a top six finish. Because even if you do take, again, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, I'm looking there and thinking, okay, Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Chelsea, forget about those. Newcastle, forget about those. Aston Villa have lost a few players. Rashford's gone. Asensio, I think, went back to wherever he was on loan from. Of course, someone could get Ollie Watkins. Let's say Aston Villa fall off a little bit. Because even if Newcastle do lose Isak, I've just read that they might go for Sesko, apparently. Even though I think we're supposed to be doing that. Let's say Newcastle just, they stay stable, they stay in like a top five finish. Chelsea, I think, are going to get better. Arsenal, I think, are going to get better. City and Liverpool will do what they're going to do. Maybe we squeeze into a top six finish. Maybe. And again, I'm thinking in terms of if things start clicking and working and ideas start flowing better and we, defend better, play better, score more goals, and ultimately do better. But we'll see what happens if that scenario comes up. I just can't see that right now. But it's nice to think positive, I suppose. So, So anyway, that's pretty much most of what I want to talk about. Let's just have a really quick look. Forget the preseason. I'm not covering preseason. I'll keep an eye on what's happening and I'll, check out what's going on. So, August 17th, 2025, we kick off against Arsenal at home. Now, it's arguably written in the stars already that Gyökeres will score against us on his debut at Old Trafford. There is a minimum that I am asking for from that game, which is to simply not ruin our home record. If we lose the game, we lose the game. Losing at home to Arsenal is not good, but it's not, they're a good team, And they'll be adding Gyökeres, and they've added a bunch of other people who I can't quite remember. So the minimum I'm asking for from that game is not to ruin our halftime record. If you don't know what that is, we have a record going back to 1980-something of leading at halftime in the league. Of course, I think this goes back beyond the existence of the Premier League, so it's not specifically a Premier League record, although it does sit in the Premier League. Leading at home at halftime and not losing. We've drawn games from that position and won games from that position, but we've not lost at home for like years and years, basically. So to keep that record, of course, we are at home in that game, so if we're winning at halftime, then it's, we'll see what happens. Away to Fulham, home to Burnley, home to City, home to Chelsea. It's a difficult start. So we'll have our early question there of, are we better than Burnley? Are we better than Fulham? Well, are we better than any of those teams? But let's talk about some of the lower teams, like Burnley. They've just come up. And as I mentioned earlier with the whole relegation thing, are we going to be better than Burnley? I guess we'll find out at least half of that answer in that match. City, I don't know what to expect from City this year because they, I mean, say they fell off, they got to a cup final and they finished top four. That's hardly terrible, but of course they had that bad patch in the season, which was quite funny. Chelsea, I think they'll be better this year. The thing that they were crying out for was a striker, and they got two of them. They got Delap and they got, I think it's called João Pedro. So we'll see if they're any good this season. Of course, they just beat PSG and they beat them very well. So we'll see what Chelsea are made of this year. I'm not going to analyse all of them here, but let's just read out the rest. Then it's, so that's, yeah, it's the first five games. Arsenal, home to Arsenal, away to Fulham, home to Burnley, away to Man City, so at the Etihad, home to Chelsea, away to Brentford, home to Sunderland, so that will be the other part of, are we better than the newly promoted teams? Away to Liverpool, just before Halloween, home to Brighton, away to Nottingham Forest, away to Tottenham, home to Everton, away to Crystal Palace, home to West Ham, away to Wolves, heading towards the end of the year, home to Bournemouth, away to Aston Villa, home to Newcastle right before the end of the year, then we kick off the new year, sorry, then we end the year with home to Wolves, kick off the new year with away to Leeds, that'll be an interesting start to the year. Away to Burnley, home to City. That's a difficult start to the year. Away to Leeds, away to Burnley, home to City, away to Arsenal. So that's kind of the reverse of the other ones. And then it only takes me up to... away to Arsenal, home to Fulham, home to Tottenham, away to West Ham. I think there's more, but there we go. So, yeah, by the way, today's date is the 24th of July, so if we buy or sell anybody, because the next podcast I'll be doing, unless something massive happens, like we get sold or something, which I don't see happening, the next podcast will be for the opening day review for Arsenal, which will be on the 17th of August. Already told you what I'm expecting for that game, told you what I'm expecting for the season. Yeah, it could go better than we expect. It could go somehow worse than we expect. Or just about as badly as we expect it to. I don't know. But if you think things are going to go badly, which I do, and I can't help but feel that way, at least I've got no expectations. So we'll just have to see. Anyway, I'll see you all. Of course, we'll be doing other podcasts between now and then, but I will see you all on the 17th of August. For, of course, if we have any players in or out by that point, I'll mention it on that podcast. Because the window doesn't actually close until September for some reason. Maybe I could do like a transfer wrap-up at that point, but we'll see. But anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. Are you excited about the season? If you are, you are allowed to be. That's good that you're excited. But do tell me why. Tell me what it is that's got you excited, what you're looking forward to. Maybe you've seen more of Cunha and Mbeumo than I have, and you're really excited for those two players. Maybe you know a bit more about Diego Leon, and you're excited for him. Maybe you are someone who's backing Amorim, which, again, I don't understand, but you're allowed to feel that way as well. And maybe you're looking forward to something that he's going to do. I don't know what that is. Anyway, your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkCare, Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, main eye podcast. There should be another podcast today, and one either tomorrow or Saturday. And then, some others at some point in the future. But if you want to support more of what we're doing, of course, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Listening to more things, word of mouth, social media, all that sort of thing. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geektown Radio should be back soon on Tuesdays. I don't know when, but soon. So look out for that. And then, of course, geektown.co.uk for all your TV and your film news. The news posts are still going up, so look for those. And of course, we're on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. Alright, I'll see you on the 17th for our first result against Arsenal. Just don't ruin the halftime record. Try and keep that for this season. But will Jokeres score the first goal and then do his... Is it like a mask celebration or something? I don't know what it is. He like covers his mouth or something. Anyway, that would be a sight to see, wouldn't it? They beat us to getting Jokeres and he scores opening day at Old Trafford. We'll see. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he scores an own goal. Who knows? Anyway, thanks for listening and I'll see you for the proper start of the season. Goodbye.